Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
But anyway, we're going to jump into today's message. Let's just pray. Father, thank you for what you've already done. Wow. 6 baptisms, Lord. Christmas on the way. People excited. People getting their lives just turned over to Jesus Christ and His power, Lord. And we just say, as far as us in this house, we just ask you, Lord, give us more. Come on, say it with me. Say more. More, Lord. More, Lord. We just thank you right now that you would open up and give us more of your word today that would continue to shape us and mold us in your image for your glory. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you remember when you were little, kind of? Some of you may not can remember that far back. I understand. It's getting harder and harder for me also. But however, when you were out either on the playground or hanging out with some of your friends, either inside, outside, and they would say, hey, I dare you to do that or something, you'd be like, no, I don't think I want to do that. And here's one of the things back then that worked on us. It was called peer pressure. They'd look at you and go, what are you, chicken? Are you chicken? And that's about all it took. And then especially if one of them went, chicken, it's like, oh, it's on now. I'm doing it. Now, sometimes this would spur us on to do something we didn't think we could really do, and we would do it. We're like, see? And then we would strut like a chicken, like, uh-huh. Didn't think I could do that. I told you I wasn't scared, okay? And other times, we went ahead and tempted it, and we either got hurt, or we hurt somebody, or we tore something up. Yeah. Come on, there was about like half and half of all that. But we were kind of guided into that by somebody calling us a chicken. Yeah. Say amen to that. Now, go ahead and put up the first note. This is not a time for Christianity or the church to be chicken. It's not a time. Seems like we've had that season for way too long in the church. That we've allowed a world to say, sit down and shut up. And I did a message on that a few years ago, just shut up. We'll let you do that inside the walls of your church, but don't bring it outside. And when we capitulate to that, I'm telling you, it won't be much longer. They'll tell us to shut up even in the church. So I'm telling you today, and I brought an example of what I hope your life never looks like as a child of God. Nobody, I hope your Christian life does not reflect like this. And I hope it don't sound like it either. Now, I got this in the other day and just antagonized my wife with it. And she threatened to take my chicken and throw it away and cut it up, and she got violent, I'm telling y'all. My chicken brought a bravery and a determination out of my wife. Like, I'm like, so maybe to work on the church. If I just sit here and do this all the time, y'all be like, we'll go testify to somebody. Just shut that up. Okay? So I don't have no way to prop him up here or nothing. He won't sit. But anyway, he'll lay there. I may use him again here in a little bit. But anyway, but I really do. I believe we're living in what the Bible calls a Kairos moment. And Kairos just means it's an appointed time for the church. So if it's an appointed time for the church to have a voice inside the church and outside the church, the church can't do that. This building's not going to speak. This building's not going to go to your workplace. It's not going to go into your school. It's not going to be hanging out where you hang out with. This building is just a permanent fixture where we come gather to be the church. So if we sit there and say, yeah, the church has a Kairos moment here to really proclaim the gospel everywhere we're at, That, again, that kairos, it means this right here. It means a proper season, an appointed time. And again, I love this definition. It's the right or opportune moment. And with what's going on again, we're still on the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Which you do know there's some people saying, don't say his name. We don't want to hear it. Shut up. We don't want to hear that name. Charlie Kirk. 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 Even a chicken knows it. And he's not afraid to say it. But the world is listening right now. And they're listening for what the church, the Christians that make up the church, are saying, not just on Sunday morning, but what are you saying and living Monday through Saturday? Again, we've got a season right now, and we've had other seasons. We've had 9/11. We've had other threats of this, and we've made good of a few seasons, but it's like it falls off real quick. We got to get the spirit of Velcro on this church. Amen? So now's not the time for Christians or the church to be a chicken. Several years ago, a movement decided to come out of the closet and go public. And they came out of that closet screaming their message and declaring it, that you're going to receive it and there ain't nothing you can do about it. It's time for the church to come out of the church. Get out there and say, we're children of God and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And the word Jesus Christ is on our lips and it's going to stay on our lips. And we will not be denied our God-given rights to have our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ no matter where we go. But if you take a chicken... Who said, oh gosh? Was that my wife or one of my daughters over there? If you take a chicken is nothing more than a coward. Everybody say a coward. Coward. It's a coward. So go ahead and put up the next note real quickly. We are not called of God to walk as cowards nor to be ashamed of Jesus. We're not called to a life of cowardness. And a lot of Christians will say, well, I ain't no coward. When's the last time you prayed in front of one of your friends? Well, I just don't do that. You may tell you why you're afraid to. No, I ain't. Well, then why ain't you doing it? When's the last time the Holy Ghost gave you a nudge to speak about his name to your friends or that, and you're just like, well, you know, you talk yourself out of it. It's just not right timing. Come on. That's the spirit of a coward. I've had it too. I've blowed it several times. And after I blew it, I'm like, why was I afraid to say something? How stupid can you get? Everybody else is not afraid to say what's on their minds. But we're not called to that. We're not called to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not ashamed. But when you're not proclaiming something, that means you kind of are ashamed of it. Ooh, good word today. Thank you. Matter of fact, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, I think it's just a scripture we need to just realize. The word says, have I not commanded you? Question mark. That's a question. It's not a statement. Have I not commanded you? I want you to be strong and of good courage. Everybody say courage. Courage. Courage, which is the opposite of a coward. I want you to take courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Guess what? More than just on Sunday in the atmosphere of other Christians. He's with you everywhere you go. But I work with all hellions. He goes with you right in the middle of the hellion workplace. I go to school with a bunch of hypocrites. He'll go with you to that school class with a bunch of hypocrites. You're there for a purpose. You're there, you've got a voice, you've got action. You can influence some things if you're not afraid. If you have courage. The word courage is the word amas. Everybody say amas. Now, I'm not trying to sound, I told you a few weeks ago, I'm not impressed with people who try to change their language, act like they speak and grew up Greek and Hebrew. And I'm not trying to do that, but I wanted you to make sure you heard the A because I don't want you to think I'm saying Hamas, okay? I'm not saying Hamas. Everybody say no Hamas. No Hamas, okay? Matter of fact, if you look up the word Hamas in the Greek, it means, or the Hebrew, it's a Hebrew word. Do you know what Hamas means? It means violence. It means violence. It means, let's see here, corruption, greedy corruption, and it means moral consumption of evil. That's what Hamas means. Morally bankrupt and violent. That didn't cost you nothing extra today. But this word is Hamas. Everybody say Hamas. Hamas means, go ahead and put it up. The word Hamas means, number one, to be strong. Everybody say be strong. If that's in there, go ahead and put that up. There you go. To be strong, to be determined, to be bold, to be courageous, to conquer. Don't get excited, men of God. To make strong or to cause to grow strong. That's, I love that. If you're not strong, courage will give you the strength to become stronger. Amen? It don't mean we've all arrived. It means we're going there, though. And then the last thing, it means to strengthen or harden one's attitude or heart. To be better or superior. Leave that up there for a moment. Well, I thought the Bible says a hardened heart is a terrible thing to have. No, you had to understand the context of this definition. It does mean to strengthen or harden one's attitude and heart. And it's talking about towards sin and temptation. In other words, my heart is hard with the word of God that you're not going to penetrate it and talk me into turning my back on Jesus Christ. My attitude has changed from, well, maybe I'll compromise this. My attitude is now no more compromise. And that's what it means by having a hard heart. It's hard on the things of God. It's hardened with the word of God. This is a hardened word of God. It ain't going to compromise. It ain't going to change just because you want it to. It is hard written in stone word of God. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. And then it says this right here, to be better or superior. That means when you get that kind of heart and that courage in you, you will be better than the best temptation that will ever come against you. You will be superior to anything that tries to talk you down from who you are in Christ. Amen? So we need that superiority complex. Not that we're better than anybody, but by the blood and the spirit of Jesus Christ, Satan, I will not believe your lies. I will not fall into that trap again. I will not compromise my faith because of my flesh, my feelings, or somebody else's flesh or feelings. All right. Get some warriors in here today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Word of God says, for God, that's our Lord and Savior, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind means my heart is there, my superiority of the Word of God beats Satan's best day of tricks. Amen? That means I won't be among the elect sometimes that gets deceived. But the Bible says in the last days, even the elect will be subject to be deceived. Why? Because they'll quit trusting in God and they'll trust in their own self. They'll trust in their anointing that they used to walk in. Let me say that again. They'll trust in the anointing that they used to walk in. I think one of the saddest scriptures in my Bible is the story of Samson. When it says, Samson got up and knew not that the Spirit had departed from him. Man, we don't want to be a church or a Christian like that. To get up to think we're still walking in the anointing, but yet we've walked away from the Word of God. We've compromised the Word of God in our life. We are not courageous with anything in the Word of God. We're completely, totally compromised in everything we do and say, but yet we think we're going to just act like we will. Let me go ahead and go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and watch this. We cannot be ashamed. Paul says here, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Now, most of the time we quote it, we stop right there. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But the reason is right behind this statement. The reason I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I know that it is the power of my God to salvation. Not just for me, but to anybody that'll listen. That's what this is talking about. This is talking about you presenting the gospel. And when you're not ashamed to present the gospel, some will hate you, some might spit at you, some may throw hands. I'm telling you again, that bunch, all they know is two options. When they cannot win a debate or an argument on the facts and the word of God, they go to verbal abuse or physical abuse. That's all they have left. But the other ones are listening, and they're contemplating. And some will begin to ask questions, and you will have the privilege of leading people to Christ. But you'll never do it if you're ashamed of the gospel and you never present it to anybody. And guys, listen to me now. I know there's a lot of fear about sharing Jesus. You're like, I don't know enough. None of us know everything the Word says. Welcome to humanity. If you know Jesus Christ was a real person, came to an earth, was the Son of God on earth, died for your sins, was buried, went to Hades, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, rose from the grave, is alive right now forevermore in heaven, you know enough to win any person to Christ. You just give them your personal story about that. This is who I was, and this is why I changed, and it's all because of Jesus. Well, what about the dinosaurs? I don't care about the dinosaurs. Where did the caveman go? I don't know. We'll find out when we get there. But right now, and they'll throw all kind of arguments, and it's okay not to have every answer. Look, I don't know. All I know is I once was lost, now I'm found. I was going to hell, but now I'm going to heaven. I once was going to burn, now I'm going to live. Just keep hammering the gospel, amen? Well, let's finish this up. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and it also the Greek. Same scripture, Romans 1:16, out of the Passion Translation. I love this. Now watch this. It says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing this wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. I love that. Unleashed. Amen? Now watch what the rest of it says. For I am thrilled. There's an attitude. Remember a while ago, one of the things for courageous is you get an attitude. I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. The Jew first, and then people, come on, say it with me, everywhere. In the workplace, in the marketplace, in the schoolhouse, in the hospital, in Walmart, in the shopping world, in the entertainment, in all the mountains, 10 or 11 mountains that there are. People everywhere need the gospel. And the church has it. And let the church say, amen. We have it. And if we really thought what we had would help them, we'd give it to them. Well, we'll put up the next note. There is no place in the kingdom of God for chicken cowards. This does not belong in the kingdom of God. Okay, for those of you that are listening, later on a podcast or something, I'm holding a rubber chicken. And that's the sound the rubber chicken's making. Can you imagine just listening to this and not being able to see the chicken? What's going on in that church? That's Sister Sue. She got the Holy Ghost. Thus saith the Lord, do not be a coward. Okay, y'all okay? I love y'all. But there is no place in the kingdom of God for chickens. There's no place. Listen to me. I'm serious now. There's no place for this in the kingdom of God. No place. Zero usage for a Christian like this. Matter of fact, the word coward, everybody say coward. It only appears one time in the Bible as the word coward. Now, it's a Greek word, and it's used for a couple of different other words that interpret it several ways, but it's only really, most translations, one time in the Bible. And it's found in the book of Revelations, chapter 21. Don't put it up yet. And I want to read this to you before you put it up. Revelations 21:8 is where it's found. But as for the faithless, the detestable, and the murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, which that includes witchcraft, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Let me give you that list again real quickly. Faithless, detestable, murderers, the sexual immorality, sorcerers, idolaters, and liars. I mean, that's some bad people. That's some bad sin. All sin is bad, okay? The Bible says if you've committed one, you've committed them all. But that ain't all the list. There's one more on the list. And the one more doesn't come at the last. It's the very first thing it mentions that belongs in the lake of fire. Go ahead and put it up. But as for the cowardly, the cowards are named among the murderers. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation, life. When we fail to share life, we murder those that we will not speak Jesus to. Wow. The chicken said amen. Even a chicken knows the word of God when it's preached. Cowardly is with people who are faithless. Cowards are mentioned with detestable people doing detestable acts of vile. It is listed again among murderers. It is listed with sexual immorality. He sees no difference in it. Sorcerers, witchcraft, cowards. Idolaters, people that worship other gods. Why? Because you're a coward. And liars. First thing he mentions right out of the gate, cowards. The cowardly, they're going to taste the second death. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. Wow. Now the word cowardly, go ahead and put it up. It's the word delos. Delos and diablo is close to the same thing. Diablo is the devil. A coward is right next to the devil. That's free. Delos means timid. It means cowardly. It means fearful. It describes someone, watch this, who shrinks back in the face of danger instead of going forward. They lack courage. Now watch this. And this is a coward person is one who gives way under pressure. Well, we tell you there's got to be a separation of church and state. You cannot go out into the public and declare your faith. Separation of church and state. Now, nobody raise your hand except when I ask you to. And I'm going to ask you to right now one time or three ways. How many believes that the separation of church and state clause is in the Constitution? Raise your hand. How many believe separation of church, state, and law is in the Constitution? I said Constitution. How many believes it's in the Declaration of Independence? How many believes it's in the amendments, the Bill of Rights? It is in none of those. It is not in the Constitution. It is not in the Bill of Rights. Okay? And it is not in the Declaration of Independence. But see, they would have you believe it's part of the law of the land. And when you believe that, it'll put you in a state of chickenness. You'll cower away from it. I can't go out in public and do this. They passed the law. I can't pray in my school. I was in a school Thursday praying over a football team during school hours. We fed them, and then I spoke to them, and then we prayed over them. You ain't stopping me. I prayed in every school I've ever been with. If I get a chance to walk down the hall, I'm walking down the hallway just shikadadabaradanda. I'm praying in tongues the whole way up and down them halls. Now, I'm not doing it real loud where everybody can hear me. I'm not there to make a show. But I'm going to exercise my right everywhere I go. That's right. I can pray in English or the Holy Spirit anytime I get ready, anywhere I want to. Amen. And sometimes I do it in Walmart. And you need it at Walmart. What do you say there, chicken? Chicken agrees. Now, don't give way under pressure. There is no pressure. There is no pressure to a child of God. Because we're not ashamed. If you're ashamed, yeah, that's pressure when you're ashamed. But when you're not ashamed, there is no pressure. Let me go ahead. It carries some more. Go ahead and put up the next definition of the word of cowardly. It carries a negative sense. Everybody say, duh. Not simply being afraid, but being faithless or unwilling to stand firm. That's the one I wanted to get to, being faithless and not willing to stand firm. Now, I will not call any names, but how many remember a few years back, several years ago, that our supposedly Supreme Court passed a law that would allow men to marry men and women to marry women and call it marriage? Okay. Well, we had a great person in our area that was going to go around and we were going to do rallies at the courthouse, and we were going to have all these big speakers come out and do all this stuff and really hammer that. And how many of you know that we could hardly find any pastors that would go out publicly and take a stand? We'd call them on the phone. Oh, we agree. Okay, will you come out and speak at this? Well, some of them had to say, let me see my board. Let me talk to my board. And then they come back. Well, we've talked to our board of directors, our board of elders or whatever, and we determined, although we know that's the word of God, we're just going to stay inside our walls and preach the gospel, and we don't want to be a part of a public demonstration like that. Cowards. I don't mind calling it out now. Cowardly. Men of God? Oh, absolutely. Preach circles around me. But you can't take a stand on a biblical foundation outside your pulpit because somebody in your church may be in that operation and you don't want to offend them? What have we reduced the Bible to? What have we reduced our churches to? Coward churches? Chicken churches? I don't think so. Real quickly, Delos appears, next note, Delos appears only a few other times in the New Testament. And check this out. It's always been in the Gospels, the four Gospels. And I'm only going to read you a couple of them today. But the only time it's really used in this text as a coward is when Jesus is talking to his disciples. What does that tell you? This ain't going to be in your notes, but Matthew chapter 8, Jesus declares, "Why are you fearful, Delos? Why are you Delos? Why are you being a coward, O ye of little faith?" And then in Mark chapter 4, he says again, "Why are you afraid?" The word afraid there is Delos. Why are you Delos? Why are you being a coward? Do you still have no faith? So the only time it's used, that word Delos is used as coward, is to be afraid or fearful of standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can have other fears, although we don't have a spirit of fear. Some people are afraid of heights. That's a natural being. Some people are afraid of snakes. Wave at me. How many of you don't mind snakes and you're not afraid of them? We need to pray for y'all. Pray for y'all, okay? I need to hang out with y'all a little more, okay? Jesus was, in a heartbeat, he would call out his disciples' lack of courage. He'd call them out. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Can I tell you, Jesus is still calling out the disciples of today when they don't walk in courage and faith? Can you imagine Jesus looking at the church and going, "What are you afraid of? What's my church doing just huddling up like a bunch of scared chickens and then going out and not being the church outside the walls? What are y'all doing down there? I mean, was my son's blood and life not enough?" I mean, what are y'all afraid of? "I've given you my power. I've given you my kingdom. I've given you my name. And I told you at the name of Jesus, the demons have to flee. What are y'all afraid of?" And you know what the biggest thing in our nation is? Not that we'll be put to death. They might make fun of me. They might say something mean about me. They may unlike me on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and still X or whatever. They may post a negative something. I just can't handle that. Oh, poor pitiful us. Bless our little hearts. And some of them are the ones that are standing up going, "We need revival. I'll stand and fight for Jesus." You won't even get up and come to church. You won't even pray over your meal because you're too embarrassed. You're going to be the warrior of Christ in the end times. Gotta hurry. Go ahead and put up the next note. God is consistent. He's not inconsistent in this. God consistently calls his people to courage, not comfort. The problem in our society and our culture of church is it has to be comfortable. Has to be comfortable. There was a picture going around, I think it was in Fiji or somewhere, I can't remember. It was a coastal town. And it showed a big hurricane, or a typhoon come in, flooded the whole coastal region of this third world country. Happened on a Saturday night, and some of the waters had receded, but it was still a major flood in the area. And everybody there, pretty much you walk to church. A few of them have bicycles, but most everybody walks a good distance to go to the local church there. And the flood waters was still all over there, probably about up to your knees. and it showed the church full that morning. And it somebody snapped a picture, and they're all standing there in about knee-deep water, praising God and lifting their hands. I said, you let that happen in Alabama or anywhere in the United States, we shutting her down and staying home. If we open it up, ain't nobody coming. It's not comfortable. What you're sitting in today is way better than what two-thirds of the world ever sit in on Sunday mornings. We go overseas sometimes, it's cinder blocks and boards. And can I tell you, they won't start on time over there. Never do they start on time, but once they get there, they ain't leaving. And they sit on them little 2x4s and sometimes 1x12s or whatever for 2 and 3 hours during a service. That's why they start late, because they know once they get started, they're going to be there 2 or 3 hours. If we ain't out of here by 15, 20 after, we got people going, I don't know if I want to go back. It lasted 25 minutes extra. The opposite of being a coward is being courageous. It's being brave. It's being bold. Amen? Go ahead and put up the next note real quickly. Bravery is not the absence of fear, but it's choosing to act in faith despite the fear. You ain't got to have it all together all the time, but you got to have enough boldness and enough faith in your Lord Jesus Christ that he's given you the word for that season you're in. He's given you the word for the situation that arises in work and in marriage and on the job and in front of your friends, on your team, or wherever you're at, that you can speak into that thing if you'll just open your mouth. Real quickly, I want to read a story out of the Bible, and I'm going to try to go fast. It's a story in the Old Testament where Israel had just come out of Egypt. They've been told, you've got a promised land, and it is an awesome land, flowing with milk and honey. Say amen. Amen. And they sent 10 spies into the land to spy it out before they went and tried to take it, because there was some big dudes. There was other tribes over there. And these 10 people come back. And all but two of them, really at this point in time in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14 is where we're going to be right quick. But at this particular time, only one of them is giving a good report. His name's Caleb. And I want to pick up reading. You go back, read it yourself. But Numbers chapter 13, verse 30 through 33. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Watch this now. Let's go at once and take the land. That's what he said. We certainly can conquer it, he said. We got this, guys. We went over there. It's a great land. It's good. Let's go get it. Verse 31. But the other man who had explored the land with him disagreed. Thus saith the Lord, we can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. Verse 32. So they what? Spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. And here's what they said, quote, the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes in to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. Verse 33, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Now read the rest part of this with me. 1, 2, 3, read. And that's what they thought too. All of a sudden, these 10 spies became prophets. They were reading the minds of the enemy of over in the land of Canaan. Oh, we look like grasshoppers, and that's exactly what they thought too. That's what they thought. Everybody say, that's what they think. Do you know sometimes you'll create a bigger enemy than what it ever is? You will create a much bigger image of the enemy you're going against than what it really is. As a matter of fact, I would probably say 99.99999% of the time, it's always that way. And if you're a true born-again believer, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, it's 100% of the time. Now, just for the sake of time, 10 spies magnified the problem. And the Bible says it spread among the whole camp of Israel. Guys, it only takes a handful of people to shut down a whole nation. Only a handful to get out there with their messaging, their negativity, and the suckers and the gullible chickens buy right into it. We buy right into it. Put up the next note. Fear is contagious. When we focus on our problems instead of God's power, we discourage others too. And the church has been too discouraging. A prominent pastor was on a talk show a few years back, and they're like, well, you guys preach Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe he's the only way to heaven? Well, you know, we really don't like to go there. You know, we feel like everybody, we've been to other nations and saw how they worship other gods, and we just don't feel like it's our place to go in there and tell them that you know, you got to get rid of that, and there's only one. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That was a safe response for all religions, but it was a coward speaking it. Don't want to rock nobody's boat. So what these other spies were doing, they were comparing themselves. Come on. They were comparing themselves to the giants. And anytime you compare yourself to someone else's appearance, you can fall in the same trap. Just because they loud, they shout, they spit, and they wear their hair, or they don't wear their hair, they got this on, they got that on, all black, all whatever, that don't mean nothing. So they compared themselves to the giants instead of comparing the giants to their God. So the next time you get afraid, say, what is that to my God? What is that to my God? Whew. Numbers chapter 14, verse 4. Then the nation of Israel plotted among themselves, let's go choose a new leader and just go back to Egypt. Let's just go back to where we were. Modern translation in today, when the pastor of the church preaches against sin that we can overcome it and we've got a right to overcome it and it don't belong in our life and we don't like that, let's go find us another church that preaches it's okay for our sin. That's the modern translation of that. We'll just go find a new leader, a new pastor, a new church that tells us we're okay with our sins. Because we like them. Oh, come on. Real quickly. Numbers 14, 6 through 9. Now the other man's on board. His name's Joshua. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothes at the report of the other people. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a very wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us in safely into the land and give it to us. It's rich land flowing again with milk and honey. The next verse, verse 9. Do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. Now watch this. They are only helpless prey to us. They're helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But we saw ourselves like grasshoppers, and they thought that too. That's what the 10 that made the bigger problem than the bigger than their God. But I want to take you real quickly. A lot of people don't put this together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's a promise. That anything in this world system, anything in the cosmos system, if you've got God, you're greater than that. Because you're not of this world, you're of the cosmos of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, I'm not going to reteach that. But what you don't know is when they said they see us like this too, they were lying. They fabricated a story to put fear in everybody else because of their fear themselves. Now watch the recording in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Joshua now sends two spies in. Everybody say two spies. I think he learned a lesson of having 10 go in and a bunch come back. Oh, me. So he sends two spies in. These spies go in and they end up at a harlot's house named Rahab. And the other people are looking to kill them, and she's hiding them out. Okay? But here's what she reports to them. Are you ready? She's in the promised land. The two spies are in her house, and she gives the real report of what that land, that promised land, Canaan land's feeling. Now watch this. This is Rahab speaking here in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 2. I know the Lord has given you the land. She ain't a... chicken. She told them, we are all afraid of you. Everyone in this land is living in terror. It was absolutely right the opposite. Imagine the devil trying to intimidate you with a lie. Let's read on for the sake of time. Verse 10, for we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you through the Red Sea when you guys left Egypt. And we know what you did in Shion and Og and the two Amorite kings to the east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. Verse 11, no wonder our hearts have melted in fear. Are you seeing this? Our hearts have melted in fear. Now watch me with this. No one has the delos. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens and above and the earth below. And that's still my God. That's still your God. It's the God of the Word of the Bible. It's the God the world needs us to not be ashamed of. It's the God that needs to go to work with you tomorrow. It's the God that needs to go to lunch with you tomorrow. It's the God that needs to go to your appointments tomorrow. It's the God that needs to go to your classroom tomorrow. It's the God that you need to come home to your family with tomorrow. It's the God wherever you go that you take him with you. Because the world needs it. And greater is he that is in you than he that is anything in the world you're ever going to face. Can I have a better amen? Let's stand to our feet. Whoops. Real quickly, the last note. The last note today says this right here. Go ahead and put it up. Fear exaggerates the problems. Always has, always does. Faith produces courage and magnifies God. And just like with everything in our life, turn to your favorite person, tap them on the shoulder, say, you get to choose. You get to choose every time, every situation, every circumstance, everything the enemy throws at you, everything heaven dumps on you. You get to choose how you respond and how you react to everything that goes on in your life. We can choose to live like the 10 spies and let our mouth of fear spread like gossip to everybody else. Or you can be like Caleb and Joshua and you can focus on the promises of God, the yes and the amens. Touch your neighbor and the other, touch your second choice. And tell them this right here. My God has already given me the triumphant victories. Now and in my future. But it's going to require me to walk in courageous faith to see it happen in my life. Amen. Bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it may be because you're afraid of what it's going to look like in your life. Of course it is. Satan wants to put a spirit of fear in you. That's why Jesus said, I did not give you that spirit of fear. There's nothing to fear about the Lord. He's good all the time, 24/7. So I understand that you may, well, what's my life going to look like? How am I going to be? Am I going to have to give up this? Get it? Let me tell you something. You'll never meet a true person that really did meet Jesus Christ say they were sorry for it. You've met some that's played with it, and they said they were sorry, but they didn't get a hold of the God of this Bible. You ain't going to turn loose of this. It's the best thing you'll ever do. But real quickly, if you've never done that, we don't offer you any church membership or any certain religion today. We offer you to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived for you, died for you, rose again for you. Because we can tell you this right here with no doubt in our mind, you cannot save yourself. You must be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Repent from your sins, ask him to come into your heart, and he will not turn you down if you mean it today. So if you're here this morning with no strings attached, again, you will not join church, you're not getting a religion, you're surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. If that's you, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I want to give my life to Christ today. Anyone? All right, we got a lot of work to do if everybody in here is saved. We got to get some lost people in here. If you got online, let us know that online. We've got a gift we want to send you. But how many would say today, I've blown it sometimes with faith? I think every person in here would raise your hand. Don't be called a liar at God's house. And I got both mine up because I've done it double portions of times. but I don't have the desire to ever do it again. I may do it again. Chances are I can, but I don't want to. And that desire not to do it leads you to the path where you'll take the right path to begin to start to do it on some level. And don't try to be just like everybody else with it. Let God use you the way He made you. But that's not an excuse for you to be unbiblical. Well, I'm just brash and hard. That's the way I'm going to do it. You don't have to be brash and hard with the Word of God. Present it in love. Present it in firmness sometimes. Be discerning. But don't do it in your personality. Do it in the power of the strength of the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. He'll give you the words to say and how to say them. But I don't want to miss this appointed time of God with everything that's going on the past several weeks with attacks against Christians and killing them and trying to shut them up and shut them down. And it's just going to make our voice louder if we understand how the Spirit is wanting to move. So, Father, I thank You right now. You're raising up warriors in this place. Young men, young women, middle-aged, elderly, God. If we're drawing breath in here today, we have a purpose on this earth. And it's not to cower down, but it's to be bold and stand firm in the day. And the Bible says when you don't know anything else to do, stand. Stand firm in your conviction of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank You right now that You raise this message up and do with it more than I ever could do with it in the hearts and minds of every person that hears it, that it may glorify Your kingdom and we see the kingdom of God advance. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you say, chicken? Amen. I'm taking this home with us, baby. Hey, I love you guys. I really do. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. Say, yep. All right, if you're here, maybe you came to see one of your loved ones baptized. We are so honored to have you today. And don't go away thinking we're weird. It's just a rubber chicken, okay? Now we're honored to have you, but your tithe belongs to your church. Please don't give it here, okay? This is for people who are, this is their house. This is our, what we call our stewardship house, amen? This is our storehouse. And so again, you're not obligated to give anything here. And again, especially if you belong to another church, don't give it here because it belongs to your church, amen? We're going to pray over that. Then there's buckets back there. Then there's the cool way up here to do it if you do that stuff, the technological way. But after that, our prayer team's going to be up here to pray with anybody. And maybe you just need some prayer to say, you know what, I just want you to lay hands on me and pray. God, let me be a little bolder. Give me discernment on when and how to do it, you know, that it'll be received as best as it can. If you need prayer for sickness, disease, afflictions, new job, whatever you need prayer for, these guys would love to pray with you. Amen? But we're going to pray, we're going to dismiss it, and if you don't need prayer, you're dismissed. But Father, we thank You, Lord, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this house. It is the power of God unto salvation, God. And Lord, we want to see everyone we meet saved by Your grace. And Lord, we just bring this tithe and offerings to You right now in the name of Jesus. Say, it's Yours, God. I ask You to bless it, multiply it to advance Your kingdom on earth. Thank You for the 90 You allow me to keep. May I be a good steward of it. I declare blessings and favor over that in the name of Jesus. I love You, Lord. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for loving me first. And I love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give Him praise in this house. Hallelujah.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.